And welcome to Food for Thought. I'm Cookie Anderson.
And I'm Laura Mangone.
Say something.
John is raising his hand.
And I'm John Cook. But I had to raise my hand.
All right, listen.
We have to.
We're waiting.
Let's explain. We're supposed to have Paul Sorvino and his wife Dee Dee calling in about their new cookbook,
right.
Pino, what is it?
Pasta and Parties.
And we're so excited because they're going to be calling in soon. But I told these guys, Laura and I are going to be asking most of the questions. And I told Robbie and Johnny Boy, if you want to interject, you raise your hand.
Raise your hand.
And I will call on you. Contrary
to popular belief, Laura and Deirdre can control themselves and not talk over one another.
Yeah.
Here we are waiting.
Well, me and John kibitz more. That's why we.
Is that what it is? Yeah, we kibitz more.
But kibitzing is hard. I think kibitzing
it's a difficult skill.
I think it works when you see when you're watching a program. But if you're just hearing it, I think it just sounds like we're talking over one another. Don't you think?
Well, you gotta just, you know, sometimes somebody has to decide to shut the hell up.
Be an adult? Haddock? Is that what you're saying?
Shut the haddock
shut
up?
Shut the hell up.
I think for the most part, we're pretty good.
So, you know what it reminds me of? A scene in Pulp Fiction?
Yeah.
What's his name? Travolta. And what's her name?
Uma Thurman.
And she's talking about how, you know, don't you hate uncomfortable silences?
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and why do we have to be so afraid of uncomfortable silences? You know, everybody's always got to talk. We got to talk. Why can't anybody just shut the F up, is what she said. And
I frittata up. Right.
And I sometimes feel that some of us need to bat. Like, there have been times that I zip my mouth because I got up, like, or I'll apologize. You'll be talking and I'll say, I got to interject. We're going to go right back to what you were saying so that I don't take over totally.
Right.
Like, just a little common courtesy.
Exactly.
Aight.
Well, you know, you reminded me of, like, when you go to a restaurant and you see a couple and they don't talk to each other the whole night. And I used to think that they were having a really horrible experience. No. But now I realize that it's probably because they're so comfortable together that they don't need to say anything to each other.
And they're enjoying the moment.
Wonderful peace.
I think they're married.
Well,
yes, because that would be a bad date.
My husband and I just celebrated our 33rd anniversary a couple of days ago.
And listen, you guys
and we have a lot of awkward silences. But you're right. You're enjoying the surroundings. You're enjoying the, you know.
Speaking of surroundings and restaurants, anybody got any restaurant topics?
No.
I went into a restaurant today looking for a little part-time job because I'm supposed to start this job at the end of the summer and, you know, I've got to fill it in with something, so I'm trying to find something little.
Yeah.
And so...
Where'd you go?
Nellie Ray's Kitchen. And it was just like this little hole in the wall and little tiny, like a little house.
And where is that?
It's in, we're on a national show, so I'm not supposed to talk local, but it's like Ottsville, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And so... It's a vegetarian restaurant. They also feature plenty of vegan and gluten-free. Mm-hmm. There's a few seats, you know. It's like this little tiny place, but funky, like different colored tablecloths and napkins and stuff. And they just serve breakfast and lunch. And I said, you know, I see that you're looking for help, and I wanted to, you know, maybe waitress or just a couple days a week to get me through
the summer.
Hello
there, caller.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello,
Hello there. How are you?
Fine.
Is this Paul?
Yes.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for calling in. Are you calling with Dee Dee?
Dee Dee, are you on?
I'm on.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
You're both here. Wonderful.
We made it happen.
So excited. So Paul, we love to, just to give you a little background here. I am Irish Catholic.
Okay.
But don't hold that against me.
I was born in Brooklyn.
I don't hold any of this.
Okay.
None of my business.
But I was born in Brooklyn. In Bay Ridge.
Yeah, that's where Irish Catholics are born.
That's right. All of us. And until I was about 14, I thought I was part Italian.
Right.
Because I had a pop-up. And he was Italian. And he owned a restaurant in the city. And when my mother, I was about 14, And I was telling my mother how I love being part Italian. And she said, well, about that. And I said, what? And she said, well, you know Pop-Pop? And I said, yeah. And she said, he's really not your Pop-Pop. So I was devastated, Paul.
What a tough age for that.
I was devastated.
Exactly.
But anyway, we grew up with a lot of Italian cooking.
Right.
And we just love your book.
Oh, good.
And one of the highlights, I have to say, to Dee Dee, these drinks.
Yeah.
She created them.
She created all, she didn't, these were not from recipes, she made them up?
No, she created them, no.
They're really phenomenal.
She created them and she named them.
Well, I got the books, I know. Yeah, I mean, you know, being Scott-Irish, I'm kind of more the cocktail party-throwing person of the duo, and Paul's a cook.
And so
he's a, you know, old-school cook, and nobody leaves. Whenever we have food, nobody leaves. They
I'll
eat
bet.
It all and nobody leaves.
I'll bet. One of the drinks that I thought, well, I made note of a few of them, but the Goodfella.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Well, everybody goes nuts. Have you tried it?
I haven't made any of these, but it looks so interesting. It's got.
If I tell you something, it's one of the best drinks you'll ever have, but it is a powerhouse.
Awesome.
So, yes.
Powerhouse. Okay.
It's not shocking to drink, but it packs a huge punch, and it's a great drink. It's one of the great drinks.
So I jotted down, I have an ounce of Jack Daniels, an ounce of scotch, an ounce of cognac, and a half an ounce of limoncello.
Sounds good.
Right.
Yeah, that'll knock you on your ass.
That'll do it.
Yeah. And you can go a full ounce of limoncello. I mean, that's okay, too. Believe me, the other alcohol is strong enough.
Right.
I don't really like sweet drinks. I like strong drinks. But a lot of people, they like that extra half ounce, so it's good. It's good either way.
And so is that served in like a martini glass, chilled and strained, or?
No, with that alcohol, I mean, you don't want to, it's not a shake and drink. You stir it slowly.
Just stirred.
Like a figure eight.
You don't want to bruise
That's a manly, you know, like a real strong glass, like a highball glass with a great big cube. That's the best way to do it.
Right, right. And I know it made note of the Venus.
I'm sorry, what?
I think there was a drink, Marietta's Song. Was that Paul's mother after
That's
Paul's
mother? Yeah.
And that would, do you remember the recipe for that one, Dee Dee?
Yeah, we actually did that one on the talk recently.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was fun. So I was mixing it with Julie Chen, and I started with the champagne, and she's like, you didn't put the champagne in first, did you? Because that is a shake and drink, and that would have been a big mess.
Right.
But no, I mean, that's like pomegranate juice to give it a really pretty color, simple syrup, and rose water.
Mm.
So
right.
Then you add the champagne, and it's a lovely drink.
It sounds
really
good.
That one's probably the softest drink, but, you know, we named it after Paul's mother, who is a lovely woman, and, you know, Paul talks about her often, so I wanted to make it a pretty lovely drink.
That's so nice.
Great drinks, great ingredients. I love how the book is, there's tons of the old standby. You know, there's meatballs and sausage heroes and clams arrigonata and pasta vajoule, but then there's also some more unusual dishes.
Yeah,
like pigs in a blanket. I mean, that's sort of my...
I love that one.
Addition and making it, you know, kind of fun because every chapter is a full menu. Now, when we thought about doing this, I thought, you know, Paul's such a great cook. You know, we need to put in a book and have fun with it. And I started looking at cookbooks, and they were horrible. I'm like, this is the worst thing. Who can read these? Who can go through these? They're so boring. And you can't really put a meal together with it. So I'm like, okay, let's do this and really think out the menus. So each chapter, you know, you just put your finger on a chapter, and you've got a full menu with a cocktail and a dessert. Unlike a lot of cookbooks where they just have, like, the hors d'oeuvre chapter and the meat chapter and the chicken chapter. You know, who wants to do that?
I just made that. This is, this is Laura, and I just mentioned that I love the way you have it laid out. It's really, really beautiful. I have a couple of questions, only because I share a lot with you, Paul. Also an Italian New Yorker. My family's from Brooklyn originally, and my grandparents on my dad's side are from Ischia. So I have to tell you, when I read the swordfish recipe, I got a little teary because it's literally...
Which recipe?
The swordfish. Just the, you know, the simple preparation with the capers and the olives is pretty much how my grandmother would prepare every fish we right. ever ate. And I got a little, you know, I think mostly she would make it with eel. But it just really got me very emotional. I love all the recipes.
Well, you've got it. Most of these recipes, naturally, I used a lot of my own repertoire.
Right.
And then the original Neapolitan recipes from 150, 200 years ago.
Right.
These Neapolitan recipes are not passed down and aborted and changed as they went along.
Right.
I used the same ones that I grew up with.
Right.
And they're right from Naples.
And these are, the same ones.
You will not find another Neapolitan cookbook.
Right.
Then I went, I did a pan-Italian approach and took recipes from other areas, which, you know, Italy has many wonderful recipes.
Right.
But, of course, to my mind, Neapolitan food is the best cuisine.
Of course.
But you can find so many wonderful things up and down Italy. If you go to Bolzano in the north, where we were just there helping, doing some business up there, Bolzano's food is as good as anywhere in the world.
Right.
But we went from Bolzano all the way down to Naples.
Uh-huh.
And it's funny, it's apropos you bring up Ischia, because we were just asked to go to that festival today.
Yeah.
Just today we got a call about going to Ischia next month. They have a film festival or entertainment festival. So
I know that.
I've
actually been to that film festival, and it's absolutely fabulous. And it's... I'm thrilled by my heritage because a lot of people don't know about it. When you talk about the Bay of Naples or Naples specifically or the islands in and around, everybody knows Capri, but nobody knows Ischia.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of these recipes really brought me back there. My grandmother used to make eggs in purgatory all the time when we were kids.
So what is Ischia like?
Ischia, actually, if I can tell you what my grandmother used to say, she used to say that the rich go to Capri, but the kings go to Ischia.
Mm.
It's really beautiful. There's a lot of thermal spas there. You know, there's hot water springs.
Wonderful.
So there are a lot of now there are a lot of resorts. Back in the day, obviously, when my parent or my dad's family was there, there was really not much. But I think the thing that's most striking is when you're coming from Naples and you're on the boat, you just get a little bit close to the port on the south side of the island, and all of a sudden, it's like you cross this invisible border, and all of a sudden, all you smell is lemons and limes. It's just the entire island is covered with lemon and lime trees.
I have not been to Ischia, but I grew up hearing parts of the song which I haven't learned, which is... Ain't hanging up at La Casa Ischia.
Absolutely.
That's a famous old Neapolitan song, but I don't remember. I never learned it, but it's
right.
a beautiful song.
The other, I really do love this book. It's just a lot of your recipes really speak
too.
To me. The photography is gorgeous. Dee Dee, you are so beautiful. Like you look so beautiful in
of
these photographs.
You did have a good photographer. You know how that goes.
I know.
Actually, I hired the girl you see in those pictures is really someone I hired.
Wow.
I hired the most beautiful girl I could find in the world.
Well.
And I keep posed for these, but my wife actually is 5 foot one and about 225 pounds.
That's me. Hey, happy. That's all right.
We don't believe you.
It's okay by me.
So I did have one other food question because my maternal grandparents are from Genoa. And
yes.
The polenta recipe, this was a big, big thing in our family because my
we just made it the other day.
But my two grandmothers.
Makes it out of bread sometimes.
Exactly. But my two grandmothers would go back and forth. The Neapolitan one would always serve it with a marinara, and the Genoese would always serve it with like a broth or vegetables. So with
of
you
course.
Pairing
yeah,
it
sure,
with the broccoli
difference.
Is sort of more northern, right?
What is?
The fact that you're pairing it with the broccoli in this recipe seems
northern,
to... it's
yeah,
a more northern.
To go northern. I'm going to tell you that, you know, we had 30 to 40 recipes that didn't make the book.
Yeah.
The book. Not that they weren't good, it's just that the book is already a big book, as you can see.
Right.
So, you know, we've already got another book kind of in the works, and we've already got a head start.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and, you know, you were mentioning Ischia and Naples, and, you know, that's where Paul's family's from, and we were just there. So it was fun for me to see it because all the ships or the little boats would go in and out in the morning, like the little boats to go get the fish, and Paul always telling the story about how, you know, they would come in and they would just, whatever they make, they throw into the marinara.
Yeah.
And I find that Naples it's very like it's very much a party town because, you know, they live right by an active volcano.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
That has something to do with it because, you know, at any time we could die. So it's carpe diem. I mean, they definitely live
exactly.
for the moment. So, you know, that was just something I took back from Italy, you know, being a Scot-Irish girl who had never been there.
Right.
And that's where Paul's from. And, you know, Italy just has so many wonderful flavors and mm-hmm. so many different communities. But Naples is special, and Paul especially.
Right.
I also hired the smartest girl I could find to do this interview. But anyway.
Well, you're getting your money's worth.
My wife is the most intelligent, beautiful woman I've ever known.
That's and wonderful.
Very happy, happy, happy.
That's wonderful.
That's wonderful.
I have, I am telling you, I could go on for about an hour because I have a million
questions.
I
have a couple more, too.
I know. I'm gonna. This will be my last one, and you can have it back, Deirdre.
Okay.
So my one question is, because you are such food lovers and you have such sensibilities towards all this fabulous food, I understand that you guys have... is it in Gilbert? Or I used to be a horseback rider in my former life.
Again, did I have a what?
You have a horse protection agency, don't you?
Oh, you a long time ago.
Well,
I don't do it anymore.
Well, I was going to ask because my brothers both live in the Lehigh Valley, right where you were. So I was curious where you did a lot of your.
Yeah, we had horse fellas.
Yeah, I'm just curious out there in the Lehigh Valley. Not a lot of great food, right?
Well, no. Yeah. Well, yeah. Here's the thing, though, about Italian men and Italian people in uh-huh. general. We don't go out much.
You know, right.
Italian people eat at home.
Yes.
So mm-hmm. it's just because it's very rare that a restaurant can match the cuisine that you can
right.
prepare at home.
Exactly.
If you know what you're doing.
Exactly.
And essentially, Italian people are all masters of good cooking. That's the tradition. American people, like us,
uh-huh.
we eat to live. Italian people, like me,
yeah.
we live to live. So our food, growing up, I never saw the inside of a restaurant until I was in my teens.
Right.
We just mm. never went out.
Right.
It's not what we did.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so the food had to be varied and delicious and mm-hmm. fresh and powerful and graceful. It had to be all those things, and it was.
Right.
And so I just have been doing it all my life. And when Dee Dee and I got married, the first thing we went out one night. I mean, we'd been going out, of course. We go out the first night, and she says, "Okay, where are we going to go tonight?" I said, "Oh, I thought we would eat lamb chops." Okay, she said, "What?" Like, she's so used to going out.
Right.
Well, we had stayed home the night before, so I didn't understand that.
Yeah, right.
Like, well, we ate at home last night. Where are we going?
Right.
And because the only thing I used to be able to make was reservations. Mm-hmm. I was very good at it.
Yeah.
I was very good at choosing the place and the party and the whole, you know. But
that's awesome.
We learned to move the party home. And
right.
we still go out, but we've enjoyed, we have a very happy space in our home. And we have a lot of people over, and it's always a party. In fact, we just bought a pizza oven because we love the pizza.
Oh, nice.
And put it on our terrace, and we fix it outside. And it's just, you know, we have a ball.
Sounds beautiful. I just have one last comment. Paul, my father also never forgave the Dodgers for leaving Brooklyn.
Nor will I.
I know.
Nor will I.
And I actually have my dad's button, his Keep the Dodgers in Brooklyn button that
yeah,
he had from way back
yeah, I
when.
I have a Dodgers hat from that era.
Uh-huh.
And I just was commissioned and did.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if you know, but I'm a sculptor.
Yes, I do.
Yes, I read that too.
Mm-hmm. And I was commissioned to do a bronze of Jackie Robinson because this last year was the anniversary of when he joined the major leagues.
Right.
And so we had it. It was premiered in Times Square.
Oh.
And it will rest in Montreal where he started.
Oh, beautiful.
So I was very proud to do that. I did it here. In California, in L.A.
Uh-huh.
But now it's great. And then, of course, we got one for myself. I like it so much.
It's at the City Hall in Montreal. And they're
going
to have an unveiling soon, you know, whenever we can get the dates together. Whenever it went on tour, went up there, the City Hall, people were like, you know, we'd really like to have that here. So they agreed. So now it'll be at the City Hall, which
That's
is nice.
Wonderful. I'll have to visit it. My husband has a huge Italian family up in Montreal, and we're
yeah,
there
Lord,
often.
We were just there. That's a beautiful
We place. Love Montreal. It's so
oh,
beautiful.
The cathedral there is just,
food.
Yeah, I think most of his cousins get married at that big cathedral that's there.
Yes.
That's gorgeous.
We stayed right next to it.
Yeah, it's very pretty. Very
gorgeous.
Pretty. Uh-huh.
I have a marinara.
Talking, and you know, and love to talk to you again when our next book comes out. And
okay, absolutely.
And yet we have learned a lot on this journey, and it's going to continue. You know, we like doing it. We're going to go back to New York next week and do different book signings and
Great.
And so forth. So, yeah, so we're enjoying it.
We'll have to look that up so we can come and meet you in person.
Yeah, exactly.
We would love
them.
That. That'd be great. We'll set it up. Absolutely.
I have one last question.
Go ahead.
Paul and Dee Dee, I made last night marinara without onions for the first time in 30 years. And
what
I had
kind of oil did you use?
You took Paul's advice.
What kind of oil?
I did olive oil.
What kind of olive oil?
Not.
Huh?
No, I hope she's going to answer you correctly and not say extra virgin.
It was a little lighter. It was a little lighter.
Right.
But it wasn't olive
not
oil.
Not extra virgin?
Good. Good girl.
Yeah.
Good.
It's a waste.
So, but it was
no onions.
But I'll tell you what. When I did the, I'm sautéing the garlic, and when it was time to toss those tomatoes in, it's like I had to look the other way. Like I've never not used onion. Where did that? Where? What region of Italy did that start? With the no
what,
onion?
What did they cancel out?
I think that started. A lot of cultures do it.
Okay.
French cooking uses it. Other places in Italy use it. But Neapolitan chefs do not use onions and garlic.
That's where. So it's a Neapolitan
garlic
thing.
Garlic is tangy, and onions are sweet.
Right.
They cancel each other out. You have no taste.
Well, it was very good. It was very good. I have to say.
That's the way to make it.
But I was
without the onions.
It was a little unnerving, but I did it. I did it.
Much better. Much tastier.
Yes.
Much tastier.
Very good. But thank you so much.
Sure.
For calling in. We're going to be promoting the book like crazy.
Beautiful.
On our radio show and on our various social media sites.
It merits it.
Oh.
It's an excellent. I think it's the best cookbook I ever read.
It's very good.
I've got a lot of cookbooks, and
I really do like.
You can't read them. You can check on them as well as you would use an encyclopedia or a dictionary. Our book, you can actually read it.
You can.
Yeah, it's like, hey, you know, you want to have a vodka cocktail, it's there. Tequila, champagne, you know, I try to use almost everything, including absinthe and moonshine.
Absinthe.
Now, where are you going to get those drinks?
I really love that you use the moonshine, actually, because I have a lot of friends in Kentucky, and they drink moonshine all the time.
That's
right. She's from Kentucky.
I know.
Born in Kentucky, so of course I had, and of course bourbon. That's a Kentucky spirit that's beautiful. So, yeah, I mean, you know, if you're not a big cook, I mean, at least go for the drinks.
That's awesome.
That's right.
Wonderful.
That's right.
I would feel remiss with not mentioning that I once seated you at the Rainbow Room, Mr. Servino.
Yes.
I seated you at the Rainbow Room once.
Oh, cool.
I worked there for 3 years, and I think it might have been like the New York Film Critics Award or something. I don't think it was the year that you received it. I think you were just there, and I escorted you to your table.
Yeah. How nice.
Yeah.
What year was this, Laura?
Oh, gosh.
A few years ago.
80-something.
I don't remember. Yeah. But
well, we love the Rainbow Room.
Yeah.
What a great spot.
Absolutely.
And, in fact, Jackie Robinson, that was where the celebration was, when Jackie was unveiled.
Oh,
with
really?
Documents, and that is exactly where we celebrated. So,
oh, wonderful.
The bus that's in Montreal was in the Rainbow Room. He traveled everywhere.
See that? Awesome. That's great.
Fantastic.
Love it.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yes, we really appreciate it. We're going to be promoting the book like crazy. And thanks so much for calling in.
Thank you.
Keep cooking. Keep partying.
Yes, we will. We will. Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Be well.
All right.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
I had so
Pretty
many more
nice.
Questions, though.
I know, so did I.
I wanted to ask him if he sliced the garlic with a
I know,
razor
I was
blade.
Waiting for you to chime
or
in.
Or how about, I wanted
But it was
to,
kind of a flippant question, so.
Did you?
I'm sure he's
a Goodfellas reference.
I'm sure he's accustomed to Goodfellas.
Does he say in there that he does stand-up, too?
No.
He has a kind
but he's
of
opera.
A,
he actually sang for you guys a little
he
bit.
Did, he did.
He did. He, and
the way
you know
he
what?
Tell,
I know that song.
Jokes.
I know that Ishkayul song.
Yeah. Anyway, I have some questions.
I've been to Ischia, by the way.
I have some questions
I have
for
been
Laura.
On Ischia.
Okay, that's not how you say it. So,
Ischia.
That's not how you say it.
Ischia.
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 I have a
it was
question
beautiful place.
From the cookbook And I wanted to ask it, but I didn't have a chance.
Pasta
vajoule.
I guess I was going to ask the same thing.
What were you going to ask?
I was going to ask, we always put cheese. Like my grandmother would put big hunks of rind in it. And we would fight over the rind.
Hallelujah.
I know. Well, we should have just kept going.
I know it seemed like we were, you know.
I didn't want to overstep. I know they were going to go, I took the lead that it was.
I'm so proud of you for making marinara sauce without onions.
Didn't I do it?
And right. It was good, Don? It was good.
I made it with, I made the cod.
I would have to use an absurd amount of garlic. Then.
Did you use an absurd amount of garlic?
I think I would as well. And I'll be honest with you, my grandmother from Iskia put onions in her.
All right,
you know,
well, we didn't want to argue.
No, I wasn't going
Can't
to.
Argue
Absolutely
with
not. I'm just saying, I think it's a more of a personal.
So you know what
how
I did?
You were brought up.
I made the cod oregano, so the cod, the topping was with panko breadcrumbs, garlic, lemon juice, olive oil, garlic, lemon juice, olive oil, parsley, and then you pack that on the fish and you bake it. And I made it, this time I put it on top of a little puddle of marinara with no onions.
Sounds good.
What do we do? We should have had leftover sauce.
She asked about, did you try these drinks? I was going to make some stuff, and I didn't.
It was hard because a lot of the ingredients are obscure.
We should be drinking it right now.
We should be
drinking. I really want to try. I've got to try the Goodfella.
A different cocktail.
Yeah, and I'll drive all you guys home.
With cognac.
Right after the show.
Right.
That sounds really good. Okay, so now all of our manners are gone.
We're back to talking over one another.
But John was very polite. He didn't say a word.
I was perfect.
I was wonderful.
I didn't say anything.
I was waiting for my first compliment.
I didn't say anything.
I was wonderful.
I was waiting patiently for you to put. I kept looking at you, saying, "Are you jumping in here?"
No. I didn't feel comfortable with my normal. You know, I was going to jab some jokes in, but I don't. I didn't feel that it was appropriate. Right.
We're
going to a break. All right. But I guess we're going to a break.
Let's go to a break soon because we have a whole other segment.
Okay. We'll be right back. What are we going to talk about in the second segment?
We'll figure it out. We always have stuff, Rob.
We'll be back.
We'll be back.
Thanks, Paul.
I'm Deirdre Anderson with Delish Catering.
And I'm Laura Mangone from Chamber Swap Cafe and Catering.
And we'd like you to join us on Food for Thought. What do we talk about, Laura? We talk about restaurants. We talk about
pet peeves.
Bitchy hostesses.
All sorts of food-related items.
All sorts of food stuff. And sometimes not so much food stuff. We go off on segues, but we have a lot of fun, don't we?
Absolutely.
So join us on Food for Thought.
PANJradio.com, 1 o'clock weekdays.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people with credit card debt. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, the first step is yours. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-786-4720. 800-786-4720. That's 800-786-4720. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission, license number DC-32.
If you've got joint pain, let me ask you a question. Would you like a high-quality knee, back, shoulder, or ankle brace at little or no cost? Now, just in case your reception isn't great, let me ask you again. Would you like a pain-relieving knee, back, shoulder, or ankle brace at little or no cost? Well, if you have Medicare insurance, you could qualify for these pain-relieving braces at little or no cost. And these are high-quality braces. They are very comfortable, and they've helped thousands relieve their pain. Now, I'd like you to imagine going on vacation, playing with your grandkids. Just living your life again without pain. The Mobility Hotline is a referral service that connects folks with Medicare coverage and other insurance to accredited companies offering pain-relieving braces at little or no cost. And don't you worry about the Medicare paperwork. They'll handle it all for you. And they'll deliver your braces for free. Call the Mobility Hotline now. The call's free. 1-800-551-9839. 1-800-551-9839. 1-800-551-9839.
And welcome back to Food for Thought. I'm Cookie Anderson.
And I'm Laura Mangone.
And I'm John Cook.
Rob Bell, still wondering if he uses razor blades to cut garlic.
Yeah.
I think that was just in the movie. Come on.
He might still do it, Laura.
It's how can you get him that thin? I mean, and that's when it just melts into
with
the
sauce. With a knife?
Right.
With a razor blade, you can get it, well...
That's what they said in the movie.
All right.
So I have to just mention one thing. Okay. The veal stew... I mean, these recipes, he's got some really, they have some lovely, lovely dishes in here. This veal stew I'm making, it sounds really...
Describe it. I know I breezed
well,
through it.
It looks like a lot of just very wasn't classic
it just? I thought it was basic,
recipes.
Though, tomatoes.
It
and...
is basic, but I like that it's basic.
I love basic. Yeah, yeah.
I
mean,
I like that it's just, you know, he's got some interest...
The same recipes.
Some interesting items in it. Like, I don't know that I would pair oregano. I would put oregano with the veal stew, quite frankly. I don't use oregano all that often. But I think in this
it's
it would be
dry
really
and
good.
Fresh.
Well, and that's the other thing. That's he has a lot of dried herbs, which
and that's hugely different for oregano especially.
Yeah, that's a huge difference.
It
even
is.
I know that.
It is. But if it's reconstituted or you rub it a bit and sort of wake it up, it's
Is that because he's trying to go user-friendly with this as opposed to,
I don't
know.
I think it's just what was used. You know, it could be, hey, I have a ton of dried oregano because I had oregano plants.
It's very...
So I dried my own oregano.
I find the one herb that I don't really find it to be an improvement with fresh is oregano.
I agree, but I guess, I don't know if it's because of France, but I've been using a lot of herbs de Provence.
Right.
And oregano is pretty, it's marjoram, oregano, rosemary, and thyme, and it really brings out different things in meat. And I think this veal stew would be one of those things with the peas. And it looks like a lovely, lovely recipe.
Let's see, if you're going to use herbs, it's easier to buy one of those spinny things that has like 50, 60 herbs in it than it is to figure out.
Yeah, but those are crap.
Which herb you want to have.
Those spinny things.
Spinny thing.
Called a spice rack.
Spice rack.
Lazy Susan.
Lazy Susan spice rack.
I know,
Lazy
but they're
Susan.
Crappier.
I have two of them.
You know, if your herbs, especially if you have one of those spinny things near heat in your kitchen, they're frittatas?
Shiitake.
No, they were frittated.
They were frittated.
You're frittated.
They're a mess.
All right, I got a question.
You got to throw them
Who
out.
Who you calling frittated?
You got to throw them out.
I got a chicken cacciatore question.
Which I just made yesterday.
All right, listen.
Had it for lunch today.
Listen.
We didn't have any lunch today from you.
Sorry.
Anyway.
I've always made it, okay, with the tomato product.
Yes.
And carrots and onions and sometimes mushrooms, sometimes
I
not.
I always put mushrooms.
And the tomatoes, and I use white wine. I'm sure you can use red.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I was researching once online, you know, the most authentic chicken cacciatore recipe.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I was doing it for my clients in Princeton. And so I looked it up and it was more like a coq au vin than it was chicken cacciatore.
Right.
It was just the chicken and it was wine and herbs and carrots and onions. So I made it for my client and they didn't like it.
Because they wanted what?
They wanted the red...
olives and mushrooms. And
according to this cookbook, he does describe the chicken cacciatore as being in the north, they would use white wine.
Yeah.
And in the south, they would use red wine.
Right.
But where did the tomatoes come in?
I think tomatoes would be more southern. That's why the difference between I mentioned the polentas to him.
Well, you said something about broccoli.
because the gram, because in the South they have more fish and tomatoes, and in the North, or specifically, I'll just speak to what I know. My grandmother from Genoa, as opposed to my grandmother from Ischia, would they lived in the mountains. They didn't have the ocean. They didn't right. have tomatoes. They didn't have. They had tomatoes, but it wasn't a prevalent. They had more foresty mushroom. They had mushrooms. They had vegetables. It was a mountainous region.
Truffles,
as opposed
onions.
To a hot coastal area. Like they didn't have. Here's a perfect example: pesto. The pesto that we all know and love. Mm-hmm. In the north of Italy,
I don't love it.
In Genoa, I know you don't love it, but you would love my grandmother.
I love pesto.
In the north,
I think you don't love it because you've made too much of it.
I'm all pestoed out.
All right, well,
forever.
I'm telling you, if I made you my grandmother's pesto, you would not say that because it doesn't have basil; it has parsley. It's a different. It's different. Like every areas of Italy have different items, and because Genoa is more mountainous and close to the Swiss border. It's not like what you get in the South. So the fact that the polenta, again, going back to my two grandmothers, tomato, they it would be like the big thing. Oh, we're having polenta tonight. Okay, is it Grandma Katie's polenta or Grandma Loretta's polenta? Because Grandma Loretta's had tomato sauce and cheese, and Grandma Katie's had vegetables and broth as opposed to. So to answer your question, I think the cacciatore would be the same thing.
They both sound terrific to me.
I think.
I like the one with tomato.
I'll take either one of them.
They're both like right delicious. Now. Yeah. Well, they're both delicious in the way my mom would, or my grandmothers would make them, and they'd make the polenta soft, but then they'd layer it into a casserole dish. So mm-hmm. they put a scoop of the soft polenta, a scoop of marinara, mozzarella, another scoop. They'd like layer it.
Oh my God.
But Rob. I'm telling you what. All right, that I will bring because that.
Yeah.
I got a question.
So does that answer your question about the cacciatore?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I mean, I think I like tomato it is with more the tomato. Southern.
I like it with the tomato.
I do.
Because
that's
with the
I
wine,
make
it makes me feel like coq au vin. Just it right. makes me feel like that's what
we
it
do
is.
We do serve it both ways at Chambers Walk.
You do.
White or red.
Did you notice the dessert olive oil cake?
Yeah.
I've never heard of that.
Oh, yeah. I make an olive oil cake. They're good.
Mm-hmm. I've got it. Can you bring one for us?
Yeah.
Sure. Can you get a pen to write down what you're going to bring for us
virgin
next week?
Olive oil. Now you're thinking.
Virgin olive oil would have been a no-no?
If you're cooking with it because it has a low smoking point and you're wasting expensive oil.
Right. Okay.
Expensive oil you should be finishing on a dish. Like my husband pours
I
it
use
on.
It for everything.
You basically just frittata.
Just to save money, you're saying you could use a regular olive oil.
A virgin.
No, because it's also very strong. So I actually use it for a lot of stuff.
Just
and
on some lazy
dough. I don't, if I'm going to saute something where I need a high temperature, I'll use a different kind of oil altogether. But I tend to use EVOO for most of my things. But his point is, and he has a point, it's very intense oil. And for certain dishes, you might not.
Or you're wasting it. But you can use virgin olive oil or just olive oil, but extra virgin olive oil.
That's what you dip your bread into.
You dip your bread into.
Or make a salad dressing.
Or a salad dressing or something.
Although most of the olive oil is not even olive oil, right?
Or pour it over a piece of fish.
Right. Isn't there a lot of fake olive oil? That's a big problem.
It's wonderful, deep olive flavor if you put it at, you know.
Yep.
Poached peaches with raspberry sauce. That was another one that I thought looked really delicious with vanilla ice cream.
Yeah.
And yes, we do have a doggy in the studio.
I guess so.
We have a dog next door.
Stars and Stripes fruit pizza.
I saw that.
Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not something I've ever done, but it takes pizza dough, but then it does a total. It's not a savory, obviously.
Right.
So it's
I've made
berries and mascarpone cheese and
right.
I make an apple pizza, so it's kind of the same. Yeah,
apple
and
pizza.
And I put ricotta.
Can you bring that? Can you get your pen?
We'll put that on the list, please.
Sure.
Get your pen, please.
Put that on the list.
Apple
pizza. So next week we got apple pizza.
Apple pizza.
We got something with mozzarella. An olive oil cake.
Polenta.
We might need something a little more savory. I don't know.
Okay.
Like a protein.
Okay. Leon.
The eggs in purgatory, not a lot of people who are listening might not know what that is.
Oh, it's delicious marinara that you have in a saute pan, and then you make little holes and you put eggs in.
I love that.
It's almost like eggs il diavolo. Yeah. And yeah.
Yeah. I love that.
If I could only eat like an undercooked egg, I'd be so happy.
If you break
I love runny eggs.
If it's in a hot marinara, it's like you stir it in and it cooks the egg immediately.
But I don't eat them. Almost like, I cook them. I don't eat them.
Really?
No, I don't like it.
I don't like poached eggs and stuff like that. No,
I love it.
My brothers ruined me. They used to eat like soft boiled eggs, and the yolk would be gross.
I can't.
And then my brother would tell me what an egg is and where it came from and what it would be. And oh yeah, no,
it's amazingly good.
It is.
I have a really hard time with
yolk. So is eggplant.
So is eggplant, Robbie.
Oh.
Sorry.
Well, actually, Miriam made me some eggplant, and it was actually edible. It was cooked through. It was edible.
What was it?
Argentinian dish.
How did she make it?
I don't know, but it's chopped up really fine.
Okay, that might be something that's important to you. Like caponata. There's no way he would not like. And
how could you not like a caponata?
How do you not like a good caponata?
Okay, we're bringing caponata. I'll put that
on
the list.
It's like mush. Yeah. You can cook it till it's mush.
What's a caponata?
It's like a tapenade.
You call yourself a gourmand?
Yeah, really. You call yourself our gourmand.
I'm sure I'll eat it.
That just means
I eat everything.
That means I'll eat anything.
I agree.
Oh, we just talked about this yesterday with good. Seinfeld. You call yourself our latex salesman. Do you remember that from Seinfeld?
I don't remember that. I don't.
Never mind.
So another thing that I would like you to bring us, Laura, because during the break we talked about, we were talking about anchovies, and I just thought to myself, you know, it'd be really good to me would be a batter-dipped, deep-fried anchovy. And, of course, Laura said, I make them all the time.
Yeah. Like smelts. Delicious.
So I had that for lunch
Christmas
today.
Eve.
You had deep-fried anchovies
today?
Yeah,
I think they were smelts. I mean, they were really skinny.
That's a smelt.
Yeah, they were smelts.
And the heads are on them, and they're like...
And the heads were not on them, and
yes,
that was the problem.
Are. Yes, they are.
No, we got them out of a frozen bag.
Oh.
And they were no heads.
Oh, well, that's...
And they were pretty bad, I have to say.
Well...
And also, they went frozen straight onto the
It's one of the
plate,
reasons...
So they sweated a lot.
It's
a lot of
one
water.
Of the reasons right. that we changed doing the Christmas Eve fish dinner at home or at my in-laws' house. We now do it at the restaurant because I have the fryolator there. So I can make smelts, I can make calamari,
nice.
I can make it all right there, fresh. You know, I'm not frying fish, giant batches of fish.
Do you use frozen fish?
You got to fry on site.
No.
Fry on site.
What about for not smelts, but what's the other one? Sardines.
What about them?
Can't find them fresh.
Yeah, you can.
Where?
Nassau Street.
No.
Nassau Street?
No. I know the answer to this because I called them and they said, what you see on the ice, we have defrosted from the freezer.
Well, time out. You know, there's frozen, there's fish that freeze on the boat when it's caught.
Okay.
Flash frozen.
It's flash frozen, but they're fresh. They're
All
not
right.
frozen a year ago.
Immediately
They're not
frozen.
Immediately.
They're frozen at sea.
Frozen at sea.
Yeah.
So that's considered fresh.
That is pretty much considered fresh.
Because
it's never thawed. When it's thawed, it's fresh.
All right. This is very confusing to me.
It's immediately. It's always going to be labeled flash.
What's the difference between not. Okay, if it's not frozen at sea. And then it's brought, it's processed, and it's filleted, and then it's frozen in the distribution center.
Because they're actually they're keeping the flavor at its optimum, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that the goal, Laura,
yeah.
for flash frozen?
Yes.
Is because they want to keep the flavor optimal.
It's sort of cryogenically preserved.
Right,
like anatomically not changed in any way from when it's a fresh steak.
It's yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And why is it that there's only like a couple of times a year that Nassau Street Seafood told me that you can get fresh, never frozen king crab legs?
Because that's when because it's seasonal. Just like smelts and anchovies,
it's
seasonal.
During the season, yeah.
Just like soft shell crabs, there's seasons. Right, Deirdre?
Okay.
Oh, we just had soft shell.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
How are they served?
Mm.
So those are ready now. They're in season. The social.
I think it's done.
I think it's just ended.
It's over already.
Yeah,
it's over. I missed it this year.
You missed it.
He just did it really classic, like a, you know,
floured and sauteed,
and seared, like lemon butter caper.
Yum.
Really easy. But
so good.
They were so delicious. So delicious.
We went last week, we went last Tuesday actually, went to out to Sheepshead Bay to Randazzo's Clam Bar, which is my dad's old clam bar.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. The soft shells there was, didn't have them, but everything there is so good. We had the best clams, and they have the best clam chowder.
Where's the Randazzo's?
It's in Sheepshead Bay.
Right? What about, we used to go to Lundy's.
Lundy's isn't there anymore. Lundy's closed like 40 years ago.
40 years ago?
Yep.
I swear, is that possible?
No, it wasn't that long ago.
Yes, it wasn't
that long. No, because 40 years ago, I was 12.
After that,
it closed. I'll text.
They burned it down. The mob burned it down.
Time out. The building is still there. It is not the original Lundy's. They did not rebuild it. It's the same Lundy's that's always been there. My parents used to go there. I don't know if you guys remember, because it was a really long time ago, they had these giant monster pies, and we have two of the pie pans that at Thanksgiving my mother would always make pies in the Lundy's pie pan.
I had my first clam on the half shell there when I was two.
Okay, well, it closed shortly after that.
But I did come back as an adult. We went, and I went until, 12, 13 years old. But then I went, and I had heard that it had either burned down or something happened to it, or new ownership. But then I went as an adult.
Dude, I think we went to Lundy's.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah
but it's not the
and
same.
I think we brought
it's
Sally's.
It's not the same Lundy's. Well, now they have Lundy's, a little maybe. Restaurant in the building, and the rest of it is like all stores. It's not the original Lundy's that has been there, like when Randazzo's was there.
It wasn't the OG.
The two of them were right
the
next
OG.
Door. The original,
the original gangster.
So anyway, Randazzo's is right next door to Lundy's.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's right where we were. It's right next door.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was good.
Oysters.
Mm.
Oysters on the half. What's your favorite way to have oysters?
Slurping.
With
oysters, poor boy.
With a minute.
Po' boys, that's me.
Fried.
Raw.
I love raw.
Mignonette sauce.
It's a totally different experience.
I like raw, too.
But I love the fry. I do love the
totally
fry.
Different experience.
Oh
though.
Yeah!
I mean, I love the I love both. But it's like
totally.
Do they have oysters in the book?
I don't think so.
I didn't notice any oysters. No. I noticed clams
oregano,
but no oysters.
So let's talk about the book. Where can you buy this? Like everywhere, right? Amazon. You know,
everywhere.
Yeah.
Where'd you get yours, Laura?
It's on sale now. I bought it on Amazon.
And that was about $30. It's a huge book.
It was $30 exactly.
Wow.
I got the Kindle.
$29.95.
I got the Kindle version for like $16.
$39 in Canada.
Does the Kindle version have pictures?
Yeah, but I mean, they're nowhere near as they're black and white and.
Okay.
Nothing compares to the book.
Yeah, I didn't really. Is it common for a cookbook to have cocktail recipes?
Sometimes.
Sometimes
sure.
I will. She definitely has.
I like. I really do. She is totally talented in the cocktail area, and I love that how they put this together, because it's really most cookbooks are not put together this way. Sometimes entertaining books are put together this way, where you'll have, you know, these are recommended recipes for a cocktail party. These are recommended for
oh, that's great.
A buffet.
I
these
like
are
that.
Put together menus.
I enjoy how they give you an option.
Yeah.
At the bottom.
With some additions,
if you don't like this, here's your
an option,
For a home party.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Really nice. Very nice. It was nice chatting with them.
Good people.
You guys want to go to a break now, and then we'll have one more segment?
One more quick segment, right?
Quick segment, yeah.
Okay. So, I just want to tell a quick story about some geese.
Geese.
Okay,
you want to do that now or after the break?
Can we preface this by
after the break?
Oh, okay.
Okay, and it's just a funny goose story, and apparently Laura has one too, so we're going to do it.
It happened today.
Okay, mine happened a couple days ago.
That's why you're thinking of yours.
Come on. Is there a not funny goose story? They're all funny.
They're not funny.
There's no not funny goose story.
They're not funny.
I want to know what John's been cooking over at the Blue Cafe.
I've been serving it. I'm not cooking it.
Break.
But it's beautiful stuff.
Okay.
All right, we'll be right back.
I'll tell you about it.
Have you ever been turned down, rejected, or downright denied because of bad credit? Don't let your dreams disappear. We here at National Credit Advisor can help you qualify for that new car you've been dreaming about or that new home you know you deserve. Never again be rejected because of bad credit. Just call us here at National Credit Advisor today and see how much we can help boost your credit score. We've helped thousands repair their credit so they could finally start qualifying for the purchases they've been dreaming about. Stop being held back from getting the things you want. We help rebuild your credit score so you can qualify for the home, car, or credit card you deserve. No matter how bad your credit is, just call 1-800-735-0497 today to see how much we can help your credit score. No one is turned away. Call now, 1-800-735-0497. That's 1-800-735-0497. Again, 1-800-735-0497.
What if your mattress not only helped you sleep better at night, it also helped you heal better? Chiromatic of Princeton's mattresses are clinically proven to reduce back pain and stiffness and improve overall sleep quality. Now in our 40th year, our patented sports mattress line specifically targets muscle recovery as you sleep. Chiromatic of Princeton prides itself on great customer service too. We show our mattresses by appointment only. Contact us at 908-200-5549 for your personal tour at our Princeton Junction, New Jersey showroom. Use the coupon code RADIO and get $100 off at checkout. We always include free shipping and our 100-night better sleep money-back guarantee with every purchase. Chiromatic of Princeton Sleep Systems, doctor recommended, patient approved. The chiropractor's choice for a perfect night's sleep. So call us today at 908-200-5549 and use the coupon code RADIO. That's 908-200-5549 and use the coupon code RADIO for $100 off now.
Welcome back to Food for Thought. I'm Cookie Anderson.
And I'm Laura Mangone.
And I am John Cook.
Rob Bell getting ready to go in Times Square, be on the screen.
That's right. We got a big photo shoot.
Photos are being set up now.
We're having a big photo shoot.
Light thingies are kind of being set up in the studio.
We have a handshake emoji that has told us that we are getting up on the billboard. So I think a handshake emoji is legally binding.
That's the thing, right? That's the new thing, the handshake emoji.
Handshake emoji.
It has to be.
We will keep you posted. We may be in Times Square.
I'll tell my quick goose story.
Please do.
Everybody knows I believe in foie gras. I believe in force-feeding geese. I want to personally do it myself because I hate them.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
They deserve it. And I think it's their penance for being such... aspic holes. Okay.
Right.
So I borrowed Laura's bike. So I took the bike and I took it on the canal path and I was going to go. I rode all the way to Frenchtown, which took me about 25 minutes longer than I thought.
Okay.
Long story. So it took me so long, then I couldn't find the canal path coming home and I couldn't get home in time to go teach my Zumba class. So.
Right.
I got all messed up.
Uh-huh.
But when I finally found the canal path going back, now I was a long stretch by myself. So I'm on the Pennsylvania side.
Right.
And I see an approaching, you know, there's some geese. And I'm like, oh, yeah, here we go. But these geese were with babies.
Okay.
Okay.
Bum, 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 bum. Game changer.
When they're with the babies.
Game changer.
So I'm approaching. Now, they're not moving. Okay.
Right.
So the two adult geese are looking at me like, what?
Yeah.
They're looking at me like, what?
I know that look.
I'm walking here.
Yeah.
And I'm getting
closer. Are these the white ones or the Canada geese?
No, the Canada geese.
Okay.
And so I'm getting closer and closer and I'm making noises and I'm like, get out, get out. And they're not only like, what? But they start hissing and bobbing their heads forward and coming at me. Laura.
Yeah.
That's
right?
What just happened on the canal.
So I'm screaming, okay, and then I'm like, get out of here, you know, and then I turn around, and luckily no one is around, nobody, because it's so embarrassing, and then I'm like, come on, you can do this, so I back up, and then I got some speed, and I got closer, and I was like, get out of the way, and the same thing happened, they were like, this thing coming at me.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I couldn't do it. So then I turn around. I'm going to go back to Frenchtown, and I'm going to drive right in the road because I'm too afraid. I'd rather risk death with no shoulder.
They've been exiled.
Now, wait a minute. Did they try to bite you as you were, like, right next to them?
They don't have teeth.
Stick their heads into the spokes of the wheel to stop you?
I have a scar on my upper thigh from a goose.
Yeah.
From when I used to work at Clove Lake Stables on Staten Island, just walking the ponies around for people. And they always had geese. Yeah. They still do have geese at barns and stables because they eat, you know, they keep mice away and rats away.
Bugs, ticks.
I still have a scar from a crazy goose that attacked me.
Yeah.
And just now,
they get angry.
Just now, walking from the car to the studio.
Here in Lambertville, New Jersey.
There's one right on the canal. And I came through that little path. You know, I parked in the back, came through that little path, made a right, started walking down, and he's standing right in the middle of the walkway. So I was like, shoo, shoo. Well, it came towards me. And I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
I swung my pop-up.
Holy shiitake.
And there are two people, you know, at the Lambertville station, all the people are out dining. And the woman said, oh my God. I was like, yeah. Oh my God is right. I'm going to hit it with my pocketbook because it's coming at me and hissing, just like you just said.
Okay. Well, I don't feel so bad.
So he's waiting outside for us.
Yes.
So we're walking together when we leave.
You've been marked.
So I turn around. They're crazy.
I turn around, right, because I'm too afraid. And then I realize two cyclists are now coming towards me and passing me, going toward
the goose.
The geese. And I'm like, and they pass me, and I'm like, wait a minute. If I turn around and I catch up to them, I can ride on the coattails of their intrepidness.
They're going to be the football. What do you call that in football?
Yeah.
The blockers.
They're going to be there. I'm going to like go right through,
right.
And with their wind, right?
Right.
So I get really close to them.
Their intrepidness, you said.
Their intrepidness. I'm going to fly, right? So, and I had it all planned out. And so the guy, he got kind of far ahead. They weren't together. So the guy got far ahead. So he got through. And then the girl was next. And I was like, all right, get closer. And I couldn't quite get close enough. So she passed. Nothing happened.
No geese?
Nothing happened. Nope, nothing happened to her. But then all of a sudden, I'm like 20 feet behind. And I'm like, I think I put my feet up in the air and just went, ah! But they were like, they were looking and hissing, and I'm lucky. And I thought the next time I'm going to have to bring
like
a perfume.
I'm
going to bring a tennis racket next time.
I mean, you should have.
Maybe you had a color on.
A baton of some sort.
A color?
Well, I mean, look what I'm wearing today. I don't have anything. Like, if they didn't go after the other bicycle list, maybe.
Yeah, why was it just me?
I know. That's what I'm
like
saying.
Schwinn's.
Maybe you had a color on. That was
they did the
alerted
other thing for Schwinn's.
I was just like in black and white.
Particularly,
I was in black and white. White t-shirt.
You know, red pisses off bulls, so maybe geese
have a trigger. I feel so bad. You got a scar.
I don't think there's any good goose. Okay?
There are no good geese.
I think the Canadian geese have been exiled from Canada. There's no more geese.
That might be an explanation why there's so many around
here.
They stink.
They don't even want them.
Do you serve goose at the Blue Bottle?
We're all walking out there because this guy's out there.
No, I mean
safety
in
numbers.
Goose meat.
Safety in numbers.
I don't know why we don't eat goose meat in this country.
Well,
we eat foie gras.
It's not bad. Goose meat. I've had it.
Oh, you can have.
My sister-in-law has a goose. My sister-in-law has a goose every Christmas.
Yeah, for Christmas. I know. Once a year.
Yeah.
I know. It's crazy.
It's good.
It's like dark meat.
It's good.
It's a lot like turkey.
Wild geese? I mean, they have to be.
I don't know.
Wild geese.
It has to be wild.
So, are we out of time yet?
1 minute.
1 minute. What do we got?
Let's just do recap. We spoke with
Paul Sorvino and his wife, Dee Dee.
Oh, wait. What was the name of his...
Dee Dee.
Go out and buy Pinot Pasta and Parties, which is their book.
What was his company again? The other fellas. What were you guys talking about?
Good fellas.
Worldwide Pants. Oh no, that's Letterman.
He has another company, or
it was the horse saving company.
Horse saving. What did he?
He doesn't have it anymore.
I know, but he had the name of it was called something Fellas.
Yes.
Do they have horse flesh?
Horse fellas.
Recipe in there.
I like that. Horse fellas.
I'm not gonna answer
that. I guess the answer is no.
Even going to
no Chevalier.
All right, we're out of time.
I'm not.
Whoa!
I just decided.
That is.
I just decided we're out of time.
Jesus! Usually the music right. does it. For
we me. Have offers from this agent, from Paul Sorvino's agent. We do have offers for future guests, including Burt Ward.
Burt Ward.
Burt Ward.
Whoa!
Burt, as in hello, Robin.
I know.
Robin.
I shiitake you not.
And wait a minute, the other guy just died.
Just died. Yeah.
I know.
Yesterday.
So he's like happening. Let's have him on.
Of course, Burt Ward.
I'm not kidding.
Does he have a cookbook? Does he have anything to do with food?
I'll talk to his people and I'll find out.
Oh my god.
I'm sure he eats like sandwiches.
Well, he has right. to eat something.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Possibly Burt Ward all on right. next week's
that
Food for Thought.
That narrows it down to every human on the planet.
Right.
Bye.
Bye. See you then.